These are the words of Wendell Berry. Sometimes he thinks the earth might be better without humans. He's ashamed of that. It worries him, him being a human, and needing to think well of others in order to think well of himself. And there are a few he thinks well of, a few he loves as well as himself almost, and he would like to say better. But history is so largely unforgivable. And now his might government wants to help everybody, even if it has to kill them to do it. Like the fellow in the story who helped his neighbor to heaven, I heard the Lord calling him judge, and I sent him on. According to the government, everybody is just waiting to be given a chance to be like us. He can't go along with that. Here is a thing, flesh of his flesh, that he hates. He would like a little assurance that no one will destroy the world for some good cause. Until he dies, he would like his life to pertain to the earth. But there is something in him that will wait, even while he protests for things turn out as they will. Out his window this morning, he saw 9 ducks in flight and a hawk dive at his mate in delight. The day stands apart from the calendar. There is a will that receives it as enough. He is given a fragment of time in this fragment of the world, and he likes it pretty well. It's been 5 Sundays since I've stood in this space, 4 weeks in some other world, and I will confess, as if you didn't know, when I exited this building and my inbox and took only to the world of mothering, I was of the mind that the earth might be better without humans. You see, we had what I'd like to call a busy church year from last August through June. The litany may be or feel familiar. Our first intern. The loss of a beloved member that still makes our hearts ache. A first-in-a-generation capital campaign. Robin's sabbatical. Tara's growing belly. Eventually my leave. A conversation on misappropriation, whose reference, I'm guessing, still makes your back sit up straighter and maybe your stomach tighten. And then we must not forget the adoption of an additional principle that required not only deep discernment and not only right relationship, but wanted, chosen relationship stitched together by our faith, to name just a few things. And so you can't blame me, I'd hope, when all I wanted in the world was to return to my parents' home and be cared for, and to stretch my tired spirit into some sand and warm Long Island water, which I did. But what I came to learn rather quickly is that the habits of exhaustion and responding to the world, our own familial or community worlds, the world that inundates us with backward momentum, the habits in which we respond with desperation and fear, with reactivity and judgment, all born out of that everyday wear and tear on the heart, they are stronger than we might want to believe. And so you should have heard me sitting there on this gorgeous beach, my children with their feet in the water, my spouse celebrating her birthday, and I could not help but judge the seagull for eating the crab. And I tisked in irritated disbelief at the sand flies that bit my legs, and I thought, well, of course, when Tobias wouldn't eat one of the few things that I can get him to eat these days. That was day one. And I have to wonder, have you ever had a day one? I have to wonder, is today your day one? Thankfully, I was able to peel the cantankerous infestation from my body, but it sat beside me for a long while like a friend with whom I was still in a fight. It took days to not resent its company, its reminder of how depleted and distracted I was. Days to not feel judgment toward my exhaustion, lecturing it with should-haves and shouldn't-haves. By day three, I decided to name the thing out loud, again on this beautiful beach, the conversation I am sure she wanted to have. Tara, I am worn out. And then I had to weigh its impact on my heart. I want to be able to do it all. What if I can't do it all? And then I had to look as closely as I could to all of the habits that it had gathered like a snowball, like some kind of Velcro along the way. Do you know these habits? Isolation, cynicism, distrust. I still was thinking of Barbara Jensen's response to my first Sunday back after Tobias was born. She was expecting something all about motherhood, all about this new identity that had just descended upon Tara and me. But what could I have said? I didn't know anything at that point. But now, oh my, I am ripe with lessons thanks to the toddler dictator in my house. Most acutely when he is flailing on the floor with a vehemence that does shake a house. I want to yell back, scream over, overpower his irrational upset, and I'll be honest and say, sometimes I do. But what my baby needs in that moment is not for me to punish his feelings, but to love him for letting them out. Weigh them and name them for him, care for them rather than detest those feelings he feels. Why has it taken me so long to think my spirit, your spirit, the spirit of the world is any different? The thing is, this is not what Unitarian Universalists have been taught to do. We are not told to put things down or to cradle them lightly, but rather to show up, build with our privileges, be mighty and just in what we can co-create. This has been our good news, a good news that I believe in still, and that I believe is a mandate in being human, interdependent with all of creation. But it is, I fear, as much the thing that may make our hearts useless over time and our voices mean as we plow forward in our need to save the world, rarely taking the time to nurse the tired spirit. At some point, we will, as UU theologian Rebecca Parker writes, come up against our helplessness, the inability to stop loved ones from dying or turn our children from paths of self-destruction, love from breaking our hearts. And we will find ourselves asking, is there any source of help beyond my own strength? Is there anything I can trust beyond our power to make it right? My first Sunday, my first day of leave, Vinnie Stephanie had to be driven from here, from church, to the hospital for a minor stroke. You know this. And you know that Robin, our director of religious education, drove him, took him to the hospital he wanted to go to rather than the one closer. I shook my finger at her for that. But she companioned him in the way that he needed. Listened to his needs in that moment and also his quick humor that never seems to dim. Robin didn't know if Vinny was going to be okay on that drive. And Vinny didn't know if he was going to be okay on that drive. But they were together in a kind of uncertainty that makes a relationship thereafter sacred. And in recent weeks, members wrote a brief note on Facebook explaining that they were in need because their child was in need. And from afar, I watched as you were, as you all rallied around their heartache with love and resources and no promise to make it right, but a promise to be there with them in their fear and in their grief. And so it was that when Bill Cox died, that same couple who needed their community just days before put out an announcement that they were organizing a time to come together to mark Bill's passing. Like you did when Raleigh died and when Andrew died, you came to this building and once again made it a sanctuary. You sang songs and told stories and loved each other in our loss. And that could be done because before that moment of holding, someone else was held. The strength was passed one to another, the helplessness held and cared for, the fear companioned, the grief loved rather than detested, the memories and song shared in the body collective, in kinship chosen. It has been easy to misinterpret a call to show up. Or perhaps what I mean to say is that it has been easy to limit that charge. And it has been undoubtedly necessary to shine a light on the word privilege, but it has also been easy to stifle its meaning, as if power isn't also about how close or far we are to grief, how ready we can be to make a meal or sit with a wounded heart. I want us to co-create a beloved community, one that is just and offers repair where it is due. I want us to march and cry out our disgust at what is wrong with this world so those who are in power, who can change it, will fear the love we have and its power to overcome. I want our good news to be as strong and purposeful and present as ever. But returning this August, I want also to believe that we can co-create in humble partnership with the great interdependence of this life, a tenderness that slows us down and demands intention, a celebration of companionship that is authentic and brave, and a faith that ritualizes shining a light on the wisdom, the beauty, the necessity of living in kinship, especially now, especially today. Is there any source to help beyond my own strength? Anything I can trust beyond our power to make it right? Yes. And it would not be the same if you hadn't chosen to be here. Jack Kornfield, Buddhist practitioner, writes of the Buddhist proverb, first enlightenment, then laundry. Enlightenment is not the end goal. It is just another moment in time. Today, I come back after time away, after a busy year during a horrifically anxious period in our country's history. And in short order, the speed of this congregation is going to pick up again. Work will need to be done, large undertakings as often as the laundry put away. And so I ask that in the days and the months and the year to come, you help me remember all the ways we want to be faithful. I ask that we keep one another accountable to the faith that too many believe is just community. My people, it is becoming something that makes my back go up when you say you are here for just community, when you are practicing your faith in being here. I ask that we each bring our accountability and our curiosity too. If you don't know what I mean when I say that, bring your curiosity too, to stretch ourselves outside of how we might normally practice or name our Unitarian Universalism, our good news, the heart's holding, what we are called to and saved by, and through which we can offer some saving grace every day. So may we show up And may we use our power and our privilege for justice as much as mercy. And may we each be gifted the time, companionship, and bravery to care for whatever depletion, meanness, or grief we carry. Done together in the spirit of kinship as an act of faith, we just may save some portion of this great and beautiful world. After all, there are ducks in flight and hawks diving in delight, and today can stand apart from the calendar. May it be so, and blessed be.